Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers to invite me to this symposium talk. And so, since this meeting is about grand challenges, is this working? That's not working, right?
Why don't you just use the...
Oh, okay, no, that's okay. I can use the pointer, that's okay. Okay, so I will just spend a little time before I go to the mutant and talk about little bit about challenges we are facing. And so, you know, also I will present a few, you know, other mutants other than the multi-city mutant. So this is the world population growth. And during the 1800, it would take about 120 years to add 1 billion people. Now it takes 12 years to add 1 billion. Now maybe even 10 years or even less. And so this is the, you know, we have a great responsibility to feed all those people. You know, also, and the resources are decreasing. So so you can see that, you know, we usually the agriculture provide food and animal feed. Now we have to provide biofuels, bioenergy as well. And also with the resources are decreasing. And on top of the land erosion, and we have a depletion of water. And so the environment getting drier, and the fresh water getting more scarce, and this have a great impact on the agriculture. So the challenge we are facing now, we provide food for the increasing population, and feed, and fiber and fuel, and now, and with diminished resource, and time is really running out. We really don't have much time left. So we must have an innovative technology needed soon to solve these problems. And more important, we need the next generation scientists who actually can have big solutions to this problem. So, of course, you know, this meeting talks about many different approaches to increasing solve the problem. So one, of course, improve the agronomic management, and that's probably the most effective approach. But of course, you know, we have traditional breeding, we have marker selection, we have genome selection, we have transgenics. So except for the agronomic practice, all these ways is trying to create the variations and they select and compare to find the variation that can for benefit of yield. And so today, what I'm trying to present a mutagenesis. This is really a very traditional method, but it's very efficient to creating a lot of mutations. And so this is really a very safe technology. We have been people have been selecting natural mutation for 1,000 years to get the best cultivar that produce a higher yield, and this including the growth gene, which launched the great evolution, and also the mature genes that allow plant to grow into much wider area in the world. And so what I'm doing from here is to induce the mutation, which is instead of taking 1,000 years, we're taking a few years, and we pedigree them so that all the mutation that was really not happy with the plant, not happy about it, they will still keep in the library. And those can be used to study gene functions. Well, in the natural variations, and those probably over years, we're going to lose it. So I'm working on sorghum. So, and of course, then I want to see, you know, I really like sorghum. Sorghum is really an amazing plant, and they have, it can be used for multiple purposes, including grain, feed, and biofuel. It's very drought tolerant. And it's like corn, is the C4 photosynthesis with high water use efficiency. And but usually sorghum will receive very little irrigation, and they don't need much fertilizer either. So we have a sequence of genome, and the knowledge gained from sorghum maybe help other biofuel crops. And I'm working on sorghum, and so I generated the sorghum mutant library. We have about 6,400 individual pedigree lines, and this will be serve as a permanent genetic resource to screen mutants with altered or improved agronomic traits. And more important, we can you know, if you want to study gene function, and you can look in for the mutant theory for the gene, and to see what happens with the gene function. So, I mean, mutagenesis is not really easy to generate the beneficial trait, and most of traits are really like, the yellow leaves, the necrotic leaves, all kinds of different weird killers, and this, maybe not very much agronomically desirable, but they are very important tools to study biological functions. But I'm not going to talk about this today. But I'm talking about, I just want to talk some of few agronomic, useful traits. So I mean, at the early stage, I developed the library, and I observed some of the head are pretty big. And this, by the way, this is the BTX-16-3, which I used to generate the mutant library. And some are really long, even though this is the sterile, but they're really, really much longer than BTX-3. And you just cannot simply say, hey, this is the soil version. So, you know, I just feel that I can't accept this same thing. I kind of, in collaboration with Gloria Borro, we look at those, the mutant. One class of the large head mutant turned out to have these dramatic structural changes. And this is a terminal flower of wild-type sorghum. And they have a central floret, and this is directly attached to the flowering branch. They call sensual speculate. And there are two lateral florets, and they have a small petal here and connected with the flower branch. They call pedicellate speculate. So in a wild-type, only the sensual become a seed. And in the mutant, they all become seeds. So in addition to this, the flower fertility and the mutant tend to have more flower branches on each node, and also the flower branches are a lot bigger. So as a result, and the panicle are a lot bigger, and the panicle weight almost doubles. And the seed number triples the wild type. And so this one is we give the material to breeding companies. Now six companies have this to make in hybrid. And this is from one of the companies that built with this trait. And this is their line. And you can see clearly, and in the background, you can see the one with the MSC trait and one without the trait. And with the trait, the panicle are fatter and bigger, and without trait are thin and the seed are small. And because they have increased the seed numbers, the seeds have become smaller than BTX-3 wild type. So we're thinking, how can we improve the seed size? So in the Kansas State University released the line in 2001. Called Cas115. These have really large seeds, and the seed, each seed weighs about like a 70 milligram or higher, and like a popcorn really. And but this line have a very small head, and the agronomic trait is generally not undesirable. So it's really have never been used in breeding. And so when we introduce the MSC seeds to the Cas115, and the panic size just become huge, and it's more than doubles. And also the seed size, and they are bigger than the BTX-16-3. So in the future, what we hope is to put these two genes together into the commercial hybrid, and hopefully that will increase the seed yield, and also improve the seed size. So I just want to talk a few other classes of mutants that might be to stack together with the tri-seeds. So one class is the seed stock. And so what we do, basically this mutant, we don't use the penetrometer to screen. We just go through the field and beat the plant and see how safe they are. And so then we happen to have one of the seed stocks. And when we got it, we measure use the penetrometer. So you take like a twice the force to penetrate the seed stock than penetrate the wild type plant. So now we have quite a few more of those three stocks. We really don't have time to parse them really yet. And so you know, if there are people working on corn, and we all know that this is corn, by the way, but directly it's very important to the continued yield increase, yield gains in the corn. But if you now you look at the you know, in the field in America, so you don't see any flat, you know, droopy leaf anymore. It's all just direct leaf corn. But in sorghum, and we don't have this trait, we all have the flap leaf. And this problem is when you get low, higher densities. So we have a select mutant which even have a more erect than the corn right now. But unfortunately, this one have a kind of small head. But the footprint for this plant is so low. But essentially, on an area basis, they are not really yielding much less than the wild type. But now we have a lot more the erect leaf mutant, which is less exaggerates the erect leaf and the head normal size. So that could be pretty useful too. And so, I mean, as we all know, I mean, the sorghum digestibility is not that you know, protein content and nutrition wise we consider not very desirable. So I collaborated with Scott Bean in Kansas, in ARS lab in Manhattan, Kansas. And so we look at but unfortunately, the wet lab procedure is so, you know, labor intensive. So I gave him 500 meter lines, but he was only look through 50. And this is the protein variation in the 50 lines. And this is the 1 hour in vitro digestibility of the protein in 50 lines. And I just want to point out that this is the variation. That was the same size with the entire diverse panel, but 377 lines that put together by the sorghum breeders in the US. And that's how large the variation will be. So I was thinking, if in the future we can go through more lines, we maybe found you know, more protein content was higher, and digestibility even better. That's what I hope. And so I mean, we, you know, all the resources are open and to everybody. Anybody interested in working on this thing, collaborating on this thing, just contact me. And so this map shows the. How many you know, seeds we have sent to different places in the U.S. And even foreign countries. So now I just that's my summary. So the MSC mutant might be also important genetic resource to improve the growing yield. So now we have 34 independent. MSC mutant. They may be two different genetic different genes. I don't know exactly how many genes that will be, but at least three or more. And so the mutant library, you know, provide a resource to select other beneficial traits. And there's a lot of traits, and I don't have experience to look for it. And I probably even never thought of it. So now I really need, you know, people with experience, with interest, and want to work on these things, just contact me. So, and the future work, and we want to clone all the MSC genes, then we can create the molecular markers, the perfect on the gene, and then we can use this marker to do marker season selection to help the companies to introgress these genes, you know, quickly to their elite lines. And we also want to test the hybrid in the yield under yield conditions to see whether they actually produce the same yield gain as in the Imber lines. And so we know, and, you know, I always tell people, you know, we welcome you to visit the mutant field, looking for what you need. So if you just give me, just let me know, we'll save the seeds for you and send to you. And I think with this, thank you. The project is funded by ARS CRISP project and by USDP, the sorghum checkout program, and for Chromatin Incorporated. And I also thank my collaborator Scott Bean, Jim Hien Chen, Dennis Gates, Mike Krusak, Dirk Hayes, and Yim Hien Zhao, Chris Little, who did the penetrometer measurement of seed stock, and Scott Feather and Doreen Weir and Jeff Wilson, and all my great the technicians that work in the lab. Thank you for your attention. Mingli Wang going to do that. I haven't done that yet. So he's going to analyze whether there are any computational differences or not. That's a good question.
So in those tri-seeded mutants, do you get on a ton per hectare basis, do you get a difference in yield, or you just get more?
Chad did some experiment in Kansas and in College Station and last year, but a few was not mentioned very well. So he was saying that about some of the experiments have about 20% increase, but others may have 60%, I don't know. So, well, I didn't do the experiment. Yeah, so the I would be really happy if they end up can have a 20% increase in green yield on acreage basis.
One side note, Chin's office is actually down the hall from mine, and we were talking about mutagenesis in another session this morning, and I used Chin as an example. Chin basically, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, stopped doing everything that he'd been doing in the past, which would be a scary thing to do, and dedicated himself to mutagenesis. And it convinced me not to do any mutagenesis because it was an unbelievable amount of work that he put in terms of making the mutants and maintaining these pedigrees. It's just unbelievable. So it's nice to see some of it sort of come to fruition.
Yeah, well, thank you for the comment. But maybe on that comment, I want to also add that, the thing is, just not working hard is really collaboration. So like for the MSC mutant, so if it's not Gloria Burrow, I probably never won't be know what's really going on. I only know is that the head is large. So because she's so good in the botanical structures and we look at them together, then we suddenly find, oh yeah, there's some structural changes. So, and that's why I want to make the sources open to everybody. So, okay, the more of the collaboration, maybe the more beneficial lead we can identify from the mutant library. Thank you.